Thank you for joining us for our weekly broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. We are continuing our series today called Hard Questions, Solid Answers. This is a series of questions you have asked Pastor Dave throughout his years of ministry. Today's hard question is on angels. What roles do they play in our lives? What does the Bible say about them? Are they male or female? So let's listen in now as Pastor Dave answers this hard question with a solid answer.
Good evening. Welcome to Calvary Castle Rock. If you need a Bible, raise your hand and we will just miraculously put a Bible in it. An angel will deliver it to you. But it's a woman, so no, it can't be. Yeah. Sorry, I'll be letting you know later. I'm just saying. This will be a fun topic to go over tonight. This will be good. Well, this is where I usually turn to, but I mean, we're going to be all over the place in God's Word, and we are going to go over angels here tonight. You know, who are they? What are they? What do they do? What don't they do? God's Word makes it very clear who angels are. It's funny to me that we have over 250 references to angels. You know, somebody pledged this thing because I'm just slipping all over the place. This is just crazy. Wow. Appreciate that, man. I appreciate taking care of the pulpit. It was like a zing. I'm like, whoa. Oh, man. This is wild. Go to Genesis chapter 3. That's actually our very first reference to an angel. Our first encounter with an angel is in the book of Revelation, and it's in chapter 3 after Adam and Eve have fallen and sin is introduced into the world, and God sends them out of the garden and keep them from coming back to the garden. He puts what we know as cherubim there at the kind of like the gates to the Garden of Eden. And so it says here in verse 23 of Genesis 3, "Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden till the ground from which he was taken, and he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and the flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." And so here we are told the cherubim there guarding the way so they can't come back in. And the question is, okay, what is a cherubim? Well, they are angels. Well, how do you know that? Well, if you now, see, you're at the first book of the Bible, go to the last book of the Bible in Revelation, chapter 4, and then we're going to go to Ezekiel, because we come across some really strange creatures here. In Revelation chapter 4, and John was taken up to the very throne room of God, and it says in verse 5 of Revelation 4, "And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in the back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature was like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, 'Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.'" And so these four living creatures, we get more of a description of them in Ezekiel. So I want you to go to Ezekiel. Go to kind of like the middle of your Bible there. And if you hit Isaiah or Jeremiah, go to your right, and you'll get to Ezekiel. And we'll see in Ezekiel chapter 1 this kind of description. Ezekiel has a wild vision here. And we're shown here, he's by the river Chebar. And I just want you to read here in verse 4 of Ezekiel 1. It says, "Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north. A great cloud was raging fire, engulfing itself. Brightness was all around it and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. And also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And each one had four faces." So in Revelation, it made it sound that each one of the living creatures had face of a lion, face of an ox, face of an eagle, face of a man. And here it says each one has these faces. So now there's like four faces on these one. Now, there are many who believe that there's a variety, much like God does with people and the animal kingdom. There's a variety. Some cherubim have six wings, some have four. Some cherubim have four faces, some just have one. You know, and so there's a lot of variety when it's describing these angelic beings. And so notice it says each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. The hands of man were under their wings on their four sides, and each of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. That is a wild concept in its own. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man, each had the face of a lion. On the right side, each of the four had the face of an ox. On the left side, each of the four had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, the wings stretched upward, two wings of each one touched one another, and two covered their bodies. And each one went straight forward, they went whatever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. If I was to describe what is going on here in Ezekiel, it would take the rest of tonight. So I just want to touch and just show you that what the cherubim are mentioned like in Ezekiel. If you go to Ezekiel chapter 10, if you just shoot over, because you're going, Dave, but it didn't say cherubim then. I get that. So let's go to Ezekiel 10. It just, we have these freaks running around right now is all we see in Ezekiel. Doesn't label them as cherubim, but it does say four living creatures. In chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "And I looked, and there in the firmament that above the head of the cherubim, there appeared something like sapphire stone, having the appearance and the likeness of a throne." And then go down to verse 14. "And again, and each one had four faces. The first face was the face of a cherub." You should underline that, because it says it has the face of a cherub. It doesn't say that it has a face of an ox on this one. And so the thought behind it is, well, the face of the cherub, and if the face of a cherub is the face of an ox, then it's one and the same. Because all the other faces are the same. The second face, the face of a man, third face of a lion, the fourth face of an eagle. Go down to verse 20. "This is the living creature I saw under God of Israel by the river Chebar, and I knew they were cherubim." So that was going back to chapter 1. And so somehow these cherubim, these different kinds of angels here are just, well, they're weird, they're strange looking, but they're ministering spirits around the throne room of God, and somehow Ezekiel is having a vision of these guys and is able to see that in Ezekiel. In the Hebrew, the word angel is malak. In the Greek, it's angelos. Both mean messenger, okay? So that right there tells you who God's agent, these angels are. They're messengers. Let me ask you a question. For who? God. Not for you. Okay? This is not where you pray to your angel to speak to God. No. These are one-way messengers. They minister for the Lord. They don't minister for you in the sense of at your beck and call. God might use an angel to minister to you, but God knows what he needs to do in order to do that. But they're not beings that you can call down to be able to do your bidding. That's not what angels are. Angels are messengers from God, and they're one-way messengers. Okay? They're one-way messengers. When were angels created? Well, we know that God's speaking to Job in Job 38, verses 4 through 7. As God is speaking to Job, basically saying, "Where were you when I created the world?" In Job 38, 4, he says, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determines its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched out the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." This is before creation. In Job chapter 1, it talks about how Satan going to and fro through the earth, and he comes before God with the sons of God, it says, meaning angels. Angels have always been known as sons of God in the Old Testament. When it's spoken of that way, it is speaking of angels. And so sons of God shouted for joy before the foundation of the earth. That means that they were there before creation. How long before? Well, we don't know because time and space wasn't put together then. So if we were to somehow try and figure that, it could be days, it could be millions of years of however we want to qualify that. But they are definitely created before the foundation of the earth. So that's all we know. When they are created before creation. Again, they're one-way messengers. 1 Timothy 2 says this, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus." So if you want to speak to the Lord, you have to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He becomes your conduit, and then you can go to God. But unless you know Jesus, you can't go to God. You can only go to him through the person of Jesus Christ. He's the mediator between God and man. The person, Jesus Christ. We know angels are very powerful. In 2 Kings 19:35, in a single night on God's order, an angel killed 185,000 Assyrians. One angel. I think Hallmark has a lot to answer for. Portraying these angels as being these little babies with wings. This is not the case. Okay? This is not the case. They are ministering spirits. The Hebrew writer says this in Hebrews 1:14. This is a very interesting scripture. It says, speaking of angels, it says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" You think angels are ministering to everybody on the earth? Not a chance. Only to those who inherit salvation, only those who are saved. Now, we do know that the Holy Spirit is with everyone, convicting them of sin. Which sin? Of not believing in Jesus, it tells us in John. And so we know that the Holy Spirit is with everybody, trying to convince them to receive Jesus, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for our sin. He's the only way we're going to be able to make it to heaven. The Holy Spirit is doing that. But God's angels are only ministering to those who will inherit salvation. So I find that interesting. And how does this service take place? When they come to serve, when they come to minister, when God uses them, how does he do it? Well, in 1 Kings 19:5 through 6, we see an angel bringing food and water to Elijah. So angels can bring provisions to God's people. Matthew 1:20-21, an angel appeared to Joseph to tell him what to do in taking Mary as his wife. So we know an angel can also give guidance. In Acts 8:26, an angel tells Philip where to go in his travels so he can meet the Ethiopian eunuch to lead him to Christ. And so we do know that an angel can lead and guide also. We also know, according to Acts 27:23, Paul, when he was out on a ship and caught in a terrible storm, was facing shipwreck, an angel appeared to him and assured him that no life would be lost. And so we know that an angel can be there to give encouragement as well. We also know that angels can give proclamation. We see that at the birth of Jesus Christ. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." When the angel appeared before the shepherds there out in the field. And so proclamation was given. We also know that angels can provide protection. 2 Kings 6 tells us that Elisha and his servant were surrounded by the army of Syria and the town of Dothan. And when the servant saw, he panicked and said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And Elisha replied, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than with them." And so Elisha prayed that God would open up the eyes of his servant so he could see. And the servant then saw all the horses and the chariots of fire surrounding the army of Syria. So we also know that they can offer protection. Daniel 6, we know that the angel shut the lion's mouth. We also know in Numbers 22:32, an angel of the Lord stood before Balaam and rebuked him. So they can rebuke. Now that's an interesting one because that's not actual angel, it's the angel of the Lord. And so what we're going to find out here in a moment, there's a difference between angels and when the title the or the definite article is before that, the angel of the Lord. And that is actually what is known as a Christophany, which is an appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ before he was born in the flesh. And we'll get to that in a moment. We also know that in the book of Revelation, as well as in Acts 12:23, when Herod began to receive praise of men and cried out, the voice of God, not a man, that immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. So we know that judgment can be handed down through an angel as well. And it says he was eaten by worms and died. That's just kind of cool. I'm sorry. He didn't die and then was eaten by worms. He said he was eaten by worms and that's what caused his death. So God struck him with some sort of parasite that was eating him inside. It's cool when you really look into it. It's really great. We also know God's angels only carry out God's command. Again, there's not a single Bible verse anywhere in God's word that portrays a holy angel of God acting independently from God. Those would be the bad angels. Satan has, and we'll get to that in a moment. God's holy angels will not allow for you to worship them. They won't. Revelation 22, 8, 9. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I'm your fellow servant, and of your brethren, the prophets, and those who keep the words of this book, worship God. Are angels male or female? They're male. Always. Always. It's interesting that the Greek word for angel in the New Testament, angelos, is in the masculine form. In fact, the feminine form of angelos does not exist. There are three genders in grammar: masculine, he, him, his; feminine, she, hers; neuter, it, its. Angels are never referred to in any gender other than the masculine. So that whole TV series, Touched by an Angel, just throw it out, would you please? And so, when angels do appear, they always appear in male form. They always appear in male form. The only names of angels in the Bible is Michael, Gabriel, Lucifer. These are all male names. There is a outside writings in the more the Apocrypha that talk about Raphael, but that's really more of a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle, if you ask me. So that's not in the Bible, that name, but that's in the book of Tobit. So, but I do want you to go to Zechariah chapter 5, because we do have an interesting situation going on here that it looks like that there's a couple of female angels here. So go to Zechariah. It's near the end of the Old Testament there. And in the book of Zechariah, he is having vision after vision. And the angel explains the symbolism of what's going on. And so we can see this as being very symbolic of what's going on here. And so you have a vision of the woman in a basket in verse 5. And it says, "Then the angel who talked with me came out and said to me, 'Lift your eyes now and see what this is that goes forth.' So I asked, 'What is it?' And he said, 'It is a basket.'" Notice the angel said, and notice it says he there. So it's a guy. "It is a basket that is going forth." And he also said, "This is your resemblance throughout the earth. Here is a lead disc lifted up. And this is a woman sitting inside the basket." And then he said, "This is wickedness." So the woman inside the basket is wickedness, it says. Now, literally, it means the wickedness is what that means. And I believe it speaks of Revelation 17, and this is the woman who rides the beast. This is the harlot that is being spoken of here. And so he thrust her down to the basket, threw a lead cover over its mouth. So it's kept tight there. It is being contained until the proper time. "Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were two women coming with the wind in their wings, for they had wings. They had wings like the wings of a stork, and they lift up the basket between earth and heaven. So I said to the angel who talked with me, 'Where are they carrying the basket?' And they said to me, 'To build a house for it in the land of Shinar,'" which is Babylon, where it is ready, the basket will be set there on its base, which means a foundation that this thing is going to be set in place for a later date. And so people will say, what about these two women coming with wind in their wings? For they have the wings like the wings of a stork. Aren't these female angels? Because they have wings. Just because they have wings doesn't make them an angel. Much like, you know, Alcatraz has a beach doesn't mean it's a resort. Okay? So just because it has wings does not mean it is an angel, for one. For two, wings like a stork, as. So it doesn't literally have the wings of a stork. There's a simile there. And the interesting thing is that it says like a stork. A stork is a unclean animal, is an unclean bird when you read about this in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. And so Leviticus 11:19, Deuteronomy 14:18 refers to the stork as an unclean bird. We find passages in God's word that represents evil or demonic influences when it comes to birds. Matthew 13:4, Revelation 18:2. And so it just is speaking of evil. It does not mean that these are angels. And it doesn't mean that at all. And if they are, they'd be the bad kind. Okay. Because it represents evil. And so, again, this woman in the basket, she's being taken to the land of Babylon. That's who the harlot is in Revelation 17, and that's a different discussion altogether. And so this would be the only place that someone wants to say, well, I think these are angels. Well, if they are, they're not real good ones. I personally don't think they are. I never will build a doctrine or a possibility on one verse. If there's other verses, it's kind of like, okay, there's something to it. But God's word defines God's word. And so we would have to look at other places. Okay, if that's a possibility, where else? Nowhere. And again, that word angel, especially in the New Testament, always speaks in the masculine, is what that always means. Here's a question. Do we have guardian angels? How many people here think we have guardian angels? Raise your hand. See, a lot of you are just afraid to raise your hand because you think I'm going to say, no, there's not. But you know what? There's a possibility there are. So in Matthew 18, go to Matthew 18. He's talking about the little children. When he's talking about the little children here, it says in verse 3, and assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted, become as a little child or children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. In verse 6, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and were drowned in the depths of the sea. And so he's warning, do not offend, do not stumble children from coming to know me. And then he says in verse 10, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. So people look at that and say, well, there's possibility that there could be guardian angels. We see angels that are constantly helping out God's people. Could it be that that's their angel and things like that? It's a possibility, but there's nowhere that definitely says that you have an actual angel assigned to you. But I wouldn't say no to that just because of what I read here. I just go, it's interesting. But here's the thing. Let's say you do have a guardian angel. You don't call upon him. You're not to find out his name. You won't know his name, okay? You are to pray to God. You are to have a relationship with God through the person of Jesus Christ. You're not supposed to have a relationship with any other angelic being. Let nothing ever
separate us. We're out of time for today's Wednesday edition of Abiding in the Word. Tune in tomorrow as Pastor Dave continues the series, Hard Questions, Solid Answers. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Child care is available during all our weekend services. You can also join us for a barbecue and Bible study on Wednesdays at Rhyolite Park, located right here in Castle Rock. The barbecue will begin at 5:30 and then worship and the Word will begin at 6:45. Please be sure to bring a side dish to share. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.